verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, it's a great, great psalm. I love this psalm, and it's a psalm that David has written. It's a song, really. It's a hymn. It would have been sung, of course, by Israel, and there is a song actually written based on this psalm. It's not in the supplements, but it's a great song. And it's written by David. It's a really emotional psalm, you can see as you read it. And it's asking us to do something. Look at the first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So firstly, we are to bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, says it again, and forget not all his benefits. That's what David is asking his readers to do, to forget not all his benefits. So if I could entitle this sermon anything, it would be that. Forget not all your benefits. So that's basically what we're going to do this morning, is remember what God has done for us throughout the whole of our lives, yes, but also in 2015. And as we do that, as the psalm is telling us what to remember, we can look forward to 2016 and we can see what God perhaps will have for us this year. And we're going to do it in three steps. I have 3 points to remember what God has done for us. Number one, we'll be looking at verse 3. The Lord forgives and heals. The second point, in verse 4, the Lord redeems and crowns. And the third point is verse 5, the Lord satisfies and renews. So 3 points, the Lord forgives and heals, the Lord redeems and crowns, the Lord satisfies and renews. So the first point then, the Lord forgives and heals. Verse 3, let's read it. God, the Lord, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Why did David pen that? Why did David mention forgiveness there first of all? Why is he talking about forgiveness? Why does David need to do that? David was, of course, the anointed, the chosen king by God, the second king of Israel. Why is he talking about this? What was David's great sin? Well, we know David's story, don't we? And yeah, David was a great man, a great king, but he was a sinner, just like all of us. And he did sin. And there is one particular sin that, of course, we all know of, where he took another man's wife for himself, Bathsheba. He went up to the top of the palace, the castle, whatever you want to call it, and as he looked down, he saw a very beautiful woman bathing in the sun, and it was Bathsheba. You see, sin will always present itself to you with an opportunity. Sin will always offer you an opportunity to follow it, to fall into it. And this is what happened to David. He saw a beautiful woman. She had a husband, and he wanted her so bad that he was willing to put her husband at the front line of his army so that he would be killed, so that David could take Bathsheba, this beautiful woman, as his wife. David was a sinner, and it was a terrible sin, and God dealt with him in a very specific way. Sin. What is sin? Sin is the most destructive force that's on earth. It really is. Sin destroys our relationship with God. And sin destroys our relationship with people as well. It always presents itself with an opportunity. Sin presented itself with an opportunity to Adam and Eve in the form of a fruit on a tree, and the serpent, Satan, came and tempted them to fall into sin. temptation always comes first, and it always follows up with our willful act to do something that we shouldn't do, or not to do something that we should do. That's also sin. It's always a desire to please ourselves before pleasing God, or instead of pleasing God. And it has devastating effects. Sin has devastating effects. Let's see if you remember some of these global sins from 2015. January 7th, 2015, 12 people were murdered at an office of French magazine Charlie Hebdo in Paris. February 3rd, a Jordanian pilot was captured by ISIS and he was burnt alive for a film, and an additional 45 others were killed in the same manner. February 15th, 2015, 21 Coptic Christian workers in Libya were captured by ISIS and beheaded. Do we remember that? That was big news, wasn't it? In the orange jumpsuits and so on. April 20th, routines of mass murders of Christians in Ethiopia. April 23rd, Christian chaplains in the military were increasingly being singled out and accused of discrimination, intolerance and hate for professing biblical views on homosexuality and so on. That was big news. May 1st, 2015, 600 were executed in northern Iraq by terrorists. June 26th, the US Supreme Court rules that same-sex couples can marry nationwide. July 14th, US Planned Parenthood doctors caught on secret video arranging for the sale of aborted baby body parts. October 1st, 10 people were killed in Oregon's Community College. On November 13th, very recently, 120 French citizens in Paris were killed, over 180 seriously injured by bombs and automatic weapons. Now, those are just some global sinful acts of 2015. And yeah, they are quite extreme and they have devastating effects. But every single one, sin offered itself with an opportunity. Sin, God doesn't only see global sin, but he sees our sin also. Imagine if I had a list here of the sins that you committed in 2015, or the sins that I committed in 2015. I would be saying January 1st, 2015, at a specific time, I lied to whoever. It could go on and on and on. God sees sin. God knows all of our sins. Who did you hurt in 2015? Who have you snubbed? Who have you ignored? Who have you looked down at? Why did you lie to your spouse? Why have you not reconciled with your co-worker? How hospitable or loving were you in 2015? When did you last read your Bible or pray? When did you last apologize for doing something wrong? And these questions I ask myself also, and when I ask myself these questions genuinely, I get on the defensive because I don't want to seem like somebody who sins. I always want to seem like a perfect person, and we're all like that. But actually, these kind of questions shed light on who we really are. Sinners. Sinners. And the message of this psalm is calling us to remember God's forgiveness that is on offer to us. His forgiveness. It's calling us not to remember what we've done, but to remember who we can become, a forgiven person. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that's what we should do in 2016, is to remember the forgiveness that God has on offer for us. Look at the second part of verse 3. God who forgives all your iniquity, yes, but God who heals all your diseases. God is a healer. He is. The Bible says he is. Why is David, though, referring to God here as a healer? Well, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. What happened there? When the Egyptians had the Israelites in exile as slaves, God was going to lead them out. And he brought upon the Egyptians 10 plagues. And in Exodus 15, 26, God is termed there a healer. God is called a healer because he healed Israel from prevented them from having these plagues upon them. God heals Abimelech, Genesis 20. It's across the whole of the Old Testament. God heals Miriam, Numbers 12. God heals Hannah, 1 Samuel 1. God heals King Jeroboam, 1 Kings 13. God uses Elijah to heal a widow's son, 1 Kings 17. God uses Elisha to heal a barren woman, 2 Kings 4. God heals Amon, 2 Kings 5. A dead man is raised from death after being thrown into Elisha's tomb, 2 Kings 13. God heals Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20, verse 5. God heals Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4. And David himself prayed for Israel's healing after 70,000 deaths came upon them. And he answered David's prayer. God is a forgiver. God forgives sin, but he is also a healer. He has healed people throughout the whole of the Bible. Who is the great miracle worker of Scripture? Jesus, the Son of God. He came to preach that he was the Son of God. He came to reveal himself as the Son of God, and he went to the cross. But he also healed people. Throughout the whole of Acts, after Jesus ascended into heaven, God is healing people. Chapter 3 of Acts, Peter and John heal the blind man from birth. Chapter 4, there are further results of healing. Chapter 5, there's records of signs and wonders where Peter's shadow heals people. Chapter 6, Stephen performs signs and wonders. Chapter 9, there's the raising of Dorcas by Peter. Chapter 14, there are signs and wonders performed by Paul and Barnabas. Chapter 19, there are extraordinary miracles done by Paul. They're all done by God through these people. God is a healer. Now, you may look back at 2015 and say, I'm still ill. I'm still suffering. God hasn't helped me. God hasn't healed me. Doesn't he love me? Of course he loves you. God deals with sin and suffering very, very differently. Sin destroys our relationship with God, whereas suffering deepens our relationship with God. Let me say that again. Sin destroys our relationship with God. Suffering deepens it. God will not heal everybody. Does God heal today? Of course he does. I was very, very sick over Christmas. I was up all night and Libby caught the bug. God healed me. Common grace. I went to see the doctors. They gave me stuff and it made me better. Is that not God? Of course it is. Somebody may have cancer and they may tell you it's terminal. Will God heal that person? I don't know. Probably not. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Suffering deepens our relationship with God. It really does. We don't see it at the time, but it really does. And David is saying, God is a healer. Why does he allow us to suffer? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says this. It's a fantastic verse. Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What a wonderful verse. When you're going through a difficult time, when you're suffering, it's painful for the moment. It's horrible, whether it's anxiety, depression, cancer, a physical illness that is just bringing you down. It's horrible. It really is. God may not heal you, but He is with you, and He can deepen your relationship with Him. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than unpleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. We call this sanctified affliction, that God is sanctifying you through your afflictions. However, God is still a healer. And there is a promise to the Christian, to those who have trusted in Christ, that one day your body will be healed fully, completely, perfectly. That when Jesus returns, He will reconcile all things to Himself. Philippians 3:21 says, Christ will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. There is a promise to a Christian. You will suffer. You will die. But you will be healed. If you're a Christian, you are forgiven. Remember that in 2016. You are forgiven. You will be healed because God is a healer. Whether on this earth or whether it is in the next earth. You will be healed. There is a promise that we can grab onto. Secondly, the second point, the Lord redeems and crowns. Look at verse 4. The Lord redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. To redeem something is to buy it back, buy something back that has been lost, that you once owned but that is lost. And to redeem something, two things need to happen. Two things. The redeemer needs to have a desire to redeem, and then an action needs to take place. And in God's case, His desire to redeem sinners is His love, His steadfast love, which is all over Psalm 103. And the action that God has taken is to send His only Son to pay the price, to absorb His wrath, and to be punished in our place. So for David here to say, to ask us to remember that we are redeemed, it has a far deeper meaning than just to say that we're forgiven. He goes a step further. Forgiveness is just a pardon, a let-off, saying, it's dealt with, you're clean, it's fine. All your sins gone. Redemption is far more, implies far more. And it extends the whole meaning of God's love towards us. All of human history revolves around this one truth of redemption. Redemption is at the very core of the Bible. All of human history points towards Christ and His redemptive work for us. Ephesians 2 tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were lost. If you're dead, you can't do anything. In our sins, we are dead. We are not alive. Christ, being the living one, came and died so that we, our sins, can die with Him. And He raised from death so we too can be raised from death. And more than that, having been raised from our spiritual death by Jesus Christ, we are adopted into God's family. You were not a lost possession. You were a lost child found by God. He has come to get you. I remember when I was 5 years old, I come from the Gwendryth Valley, and I was unfamiliar with towns and cities. And we went for a trip to Llanelli town. I was five, and I got lost. I decided to go for a wander. And I came across, it was terrible. I still remember it now. I had dreams for years of remembering what it was like to be lost as a child. It's really horrible. When you're so dependent on your parents and they've gone, what do you do? And I remember a blonde woman founding me. I still remember her face. And bless her, she helped me. And she guided me back to my father. And I remember seeing my father's face. Seeing a familiar face when you're 5 years old, when you're lost, is just wonderful. And I was crying and I said, sorry, sorry, sorry. And it was wonderful being found again by my father. What did my father do? Now he looked at me and he said, don't you ever run away from me again. Don't you ever run away from me again. And I was terrified for a moment. And all of a sudden, his face turned. And it was like he crowned me, as it says here, with steadfast love and mercy. And he said, let's go to McDonald's. I was like, this is amazing. I love this guy. Let's buy you something from Toys R Us. Let's go, man. He was so happy that he had found me. And that's what redemption is like for God. That's what it should be like for us. That having been found by God, he tells us, you're a sinner. You ran away from me. How dare you? It lasts for just a moment. And he deals with your sin, and he takes it away because of Jesus. And then God's face turns, and he says, I love you. And he crowns us with his steadfast love and mercy. And that's what the Christian life is all about. That's why it's through suffering, it's difficult. But that's why through suffering, we are still crowned with his steadfast love. He still loves us. Over Christmas, I was up all night, like I just said, going sick. And Libby stayed up all night with me. And that's really steadfast love when there's all kinds of stuff all over me. And that really is steadfast love, and you're suffering and it's difficult, but your loved one is there for you, and God is like that. Whatever you may face this year, he is there. Thirdly and finally, verse 5, the Lord who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. News flash for you. 2016 is probably not going to be any different than 2015 in terms of its events. You'll probably have the same old job, same old spouse. That was a joke. You can laugh at those. Same old house, same old car. You'll have a birthday. You'll have a holiday. You'll find the cheapest flight and same old year, it'll probably be the same. Same events. I know I've got a friend called Owen Batstone, and he loves wrestling. He's probably expecting that WWE will call him up this year. It's not going to happen. There are men here who think they're fantastic at football, and Man United will phone them. This year is the year. It's just not going to happen. Or Man City, or Arsenal, whoever. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be the same old year. But you can change. You can change. This is not self-help. This is turning to the God of the universe, to the God of all creation, and asking him to transform you so that when the same old events come, something different might change. The same old suffering, the same old sicknesses. You might be diagnosed with something. Someone in your family might pass away. I hope that's not the case, but it happens when those come. You can change. You can face those situations and say, Lord, help me. Help me to grow in this. And what can happen is what it says in this verse, in verse 5. The Lord satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God gives you good gifts. Did you know that God is working in your life in thousands and thousands of ways today, and you're aware of about three of them. Do you know that? God is working in my life in thousands of ways. I'm aware of maybe three. It's true. Christmas has just been, and you've been given gifts, good things. Maybe you've received a gift and you've opened it and gone, what good is this? Well, I remember giving a gift to Libs, my dear wife. It was a multi-tool, not a great idea. And she opened it and she basically, you know, I asked her if I could share this story. She said yes. She basically said, what good is this? She keeps it in a bag and that's actually become very good. She uses the scissors to get a cheeky nose hair or pluckers for her eyebrows and various things like that. It's actually become a very good gift. And she did say, what good is this? And we are like that when things come our way. When even suffering and various things, we will say, what good is this in my life? Why does God allow this to happen? Well, you might not see any good in it at that very moment. But you may see it months down the line. You may see it years down the line. That actually, when you look back,